open in prayer, if that's okay. So we can bow. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here together this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that thousands of years after these words were written, you still speak to us through them today. Lord, as I bring this message, I pray that these wouldn't just be my words. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak through me and speak to every heart in this room, including my own. And Lord, if anybody here is going through their own fire right now, remind them this morning that you are with them. Strengthen our faith. Help us to trust you when we understand what you are doing, and even when we don't. Let everything said this morning bring glory to your name of Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, the message I want to... there's a bike outside, a bit loud. The message I want to bring to you this morning is called, Even If He Doesn't. And we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3 and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, some of us probably already know this story quite well. Some of us may have heard it before, and for some others it might be completely new. So, before we get into the message, let's just quickly recap what actually happens. So, Nebuchadnezzar, that name's always going to throw me off. The king of Babylon makes this enormous image of gold. And he says, when the music plays, everyone has to fall down and worship it. And if you don't, you get thrown into a furnace. Charming. Absolutely charming. Right, so, the music plays, everybody bows except from three men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men worship the one true God. And they're not willing to worship something else just because everyone around them is doing it. And eventually they get reported to the king. And he is furious. He has them brought before him and he basically says, I'm going to give you one more chance. One more chance. The music is going to play again, bow down, and everything will be fine. But if you refuse, you're going in the furnace. And then the king asked them this, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And I love that question, because he's about to find out exactly what God can rescue them from his hand. So, before we get to the furnace, let's listen to how these three men responded. Daniel 3:16-18 says, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or the image of gold you have set up. But even if he does not, that's the bit that gets me. Because they have absolutely no idea what's about to happen. They don't know if God is going to rescue them. They don't know if they're going to walk out of that furnace. But they know who their God is. And I want us to look at three things from their response this morning. And the first one is, God is able. In 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, For we live by faith, not by sight. And when we look at these three men, that's exactly what they are doing. They can see the king. They can see the furnace. They can see everyone else bowing down. Everything their eyes are telling them says, I'm in trouble. But their faith tells them something different. Their God is bigger than what's standing in front of them. That's why they can look at Nebuchadnezzar and say, the God we serve is able to deliver us. And actually, if you're comfortable doing so, can I get a raise of hands if there's something in your life right now that you're trusting God with? You raise your hands? Right, now, just take a look around while everyone looks. Keep your hands raised. Come on, keep your hands raised. Now, take a look around. Take a look around. Now, we don't know what everyone has their hands raised for. And we don't know how God is going to answer every single one of these prayers. But we know who we're praying to, right? Now, Jeremiah 32:27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? No, nothing is too hard for God. Hallelujah. So, whatever you just raised your hand for, God is able. Maybe right now you can't see how things are going to work out, but God is able. Maybe you've been waiting a lot longer than you thought you would for that prayer to be answered. But God is still able. But here's where it gets difficult. Because faith isn't me believing hard enough that God is going to give me the outcome I want. Faith is trusting him whatever the outcome looks like. There's a difference between saying God can and thinking God must. And that brings me perfectly into my second point. Even if he doesn't, he is still worthy. Verse 18 says, but even if he does not. And that was the part that really got me. Because they know that God can save them. They are basically saying, even if he chooses not to save us, he is still our God. He is still worthy of our worship. Whether they walk out of that furnace or die inside of it, it doesn't change anything. And I think this is where faith can become really difficult for us. Because without even realizing it, sometimes our relationship with God can become a bit transactional. God, I'll trust you if you fix this. If you give me that opportunity, if you restore that relationship, I'll trust you if you heal me. I'll trust you when you answer this prayer the way that I want it to be answered. But then what happens when it doesn't, right? And someone that came to my mind when I was preparing this was actually Kanye West. Some of us may remember around 2019 when Kanye very publicly started professing his faith in Jesus. He released an album called Jesus is King. He started doing Sunday services. He was openly talking about Jesus. And then just a few years later, I saw an interview where he said he had issues with Jesus. He spoke about things he prayed about and how from his perspective, Jesus hadn't shown up. Now I'm not going to stand here and pretend that I know Jesus' heart, because I absolutely do not. That's between him and God. But when I heard him say that, it made me think about my own faith. What happens to my faith when God doesn't do what I wanted him to do? Right? Is he still worthy? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already answered that question before they even went into the furnace. They knew God could rescue them. They just didn't know whether he would. But their worship wasn't dependent on the outcome. And actually, Jesus himself gives us the perfect example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane. My goodness, should have brought a bottle of water with me this morning. But Jesus knows what was coming. He knew that the cross was ahead of him. And he prays, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus told the Father what he wants. But it's ultimately, your will comes before mine. And I think there's a question all of us need to ask ourselves. If God never gave us another thing that we asked him for, has he already done enough for us to worship him forever? Guys, he gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross for us. Through him, our sins can be forgiven. Through him, we can be reconciled to God. And then on the third day, he rose again. The grave is empty. Hallelujah. So, when the prayer is answered, he is worthy. And when I'm still waiting, he is worthy. So then when everything makes sense, or when I haven't got a clue what God is doing, he is still worthy. And then that brings me back to this golden image. Because it's easy to read Daniel 3 and picture this massive golden statue from thousands of years ago and think, it's got nothing to do with me though, has it? But the things we get tempted to bow to today might just look a bit different, right? It could be money. It could be status. Or a career. Or even a relationship. Or even what other people think of us. And that's the thing about idols, is that an idol doesn't have to be a golden statue. Anything that starts to take God's place in our hearts can become an idol. And sometimes we don't physically bow down to anything. We bow down to the things that we prioritize. We bow through what we're willing to compromise for. So I think Daniel 3 leaves us with a pretty important question. What am I being asked to bow to? Everyone around these three men were bowing, but obedience to God meant more than fitting in. And we'll face the pressure to compromise too. That doesn't mean we have to be loud about everything. It doesn't mean we have to be argumentative. And it definitely doesn't mean looking down on people who don't believe what we believe. But when what the world wants from me goes against what God has asked of me, Jesus is Lord and he comes first. So, now you may be listening to this and thinking, there's been times when I should have stood and I didn't. Maybe you feel like you've compromised in your faith. I know there's been times in my own life when I've got things wrong, and I still do. But here's the good news. The gospel isn't that we are saved because we have stood perfectly. We are saved because Jesus did. So when we fall, we don't run away from God. We repent. We receive his grace, and we get back up, and we keep following Jesus. But here's something I find really interesting about those three men. They've done the right thing. They've stood for God. And God still allowed them to go into the furnace. And that brings me to my third point. God will be with you in the fire. So think about that. They've obeyed God. They've refused to compromise. And then they still get thrown into the furnace. Following Jesus doesn't mean that nothing difficult is going to ever happen to us. And this king was so angry that he even ordered the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than it was. So they're tied up, they're thrown in, the furnace is so hot that even the soldiers that threw them in are killed by the flames. And then Nebuchadnezzar looks inside, and that's when we read Daniel 3:24-25, which says, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw in the fire? And then, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed." Hold on. So three went in. But now there's four. So God hadn't abandoned them. In fact, Christians have discussed historically exactly who the fourth figure was. Some people believe this was the appearance of Christ before his incarnation. Others understand it differently. And we're not here to get into the debate about that this morning. But one thing that Daniel makes absolutely clear is this. God did not abandon his people in the fire. And this is probably the one thing from this point that I really want us to remember. Don't mistake the presence of the fire for an absence of God. Sometimes God delivers us from the fire, and sometimes he meets us in it. But here's the amazing thing, guys. We're reading Daniel 3, knowing something that these three men did not know yet. We know Jesus. We know just how far God was willing to go to be with us. God didn't stay distant from our suffering. He stepped into it. Jesus experienced rejection, pain, suffering, death itself. And then he defeated the grave. So when I say God is with you in the fire, that's not just something nice Christians can say when someone is going through a difficult time, right? We can look at Jesus and know our God is a God who comes near. Now, God being with us doesn't mean that we're never going to suffer, because suffering cannot separate us from the love of God. Romans 8 tells us that neither death nor life, the present nor the future, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not even a furnace. And there's another little detail in this story that I absolutely love. They went into the furnace bound. But then when Nebuchadnezzar looked inside, they were walking around unbound. The fire hadn't destroyed the men, but the ropes were gone. What an incredible picture that this gives us. Right? Because sometimes we come out of these difficult seasons in our lives differently from how we went into them. Right? Maybe we become more dependent on God. Right? Maybe our prayer life has changed. Maybe we've realized that something we thought was massively important to us actually wasn't. There are things that we can learn about God in the furnace that we may never have learned it outside of the furnace. And eventually Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. And Daniel tells us that the fire hasn't harmed them. Their hair isn't singed, the clothes aren't burned, and there's not a smell of smoke on them at all. And then they look at Nebuchadnezzar, the same man who asked, "What God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And now he's saying, praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that. The king who challenged their God ends up praising him. Their trial became their testimony. Hallelujah. And sometimes people will see Jesus in us, not because we never struggle, but because they watch how we trust him while we are struggling. So, in conclusion, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what was going to happen before they stood before Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't know if they were going to come out of that furnace, but they knew their God. And I think that that is what I want us to leave here with this morning. Whatever you're facing, God is able. Even if he doesn't answer the way that you hoped, he is still worthy. And when you find yourself walking through that fire, you can say, my God is with me. Because my circumstances don't determine whether God is good. The cross already showed me that he loves me. The empty tomb already showed me that he is powerful. And Jesus has already given me something that no furnace, no trial, and not even death itself can take away. Eternal life in him. So whether God delivers me from it, or whether God walks with me through it, he is still God, he is still good, and he is still worthy. And church, I will still worship him. Hallelujah. So let's close with a prayer quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, give us that kind of faith. Faith that knows you are able. Faith that trusts you, even when we don't understand what you are doing. Help us to walk by faith and not by our sight. Help us to stand firm when we are under pressure to compromise. And Lord, when we do get things wrong, remind us of the grace that we have through Jesus. Help us to repent, get back up, and keep following you, Lord. Father, I especially pray for anybody here this morning who's going through their own furnace in their life. Remind them that you are with them. Give them strength when they are tired. Give them peace when they don't understand. And help all of us to trust your heart, even when we cannot understand your hand. Above everything else, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the tomb. And thank you for the eternal life that we have through him. Whatever comes our way, Lord, may our lives bring glory to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you very much.